Chris Miles was able to retire twice by the time he was 39 years old. But he's not content to just enjoy his own financial freedom and peace of mind. Chris wants you to have your own ripple effect so you can live free today. He's not the financial advisor you expected. He's the anti-financial advisor you deserve. He's jumping behind the mic right now, ready to make waves. Here's Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, your cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor. Welcome out for a wonderful show. A show that's really for you and about you. Those of you that work so freaking hard for your money, and you're ready for your money to start working hard for you now. You want that freedom, that cash flow, that prosperity today, not 30 or 40 bazillion years from now or whenever the market smiles on you the right way, but today, so you can have that life that you love, to be with those that you love, doing what you love. But on top of that, it's so much more because it's not just for your own comfort and convenience, right? This is much more about your ripple effect, your contribution to the world, to your family, creating a legacy, and also just be able to serve people because as you become more prosperous, you can help others do the same. And guys, I am so proud to be a Rippler along with you guys. I appreciate the ripple effect I can create through you, through the fact that you guys have been binging on this stuff, even during the isolation and everything else. You guys have been sharing this and spreading this word and this message, allowing us to help you prosper too. So thank you so much. As a reminder, you can check out our website, moneyripples.com. There's great stuff on there, including the free ebook Beyond Rice and Beans, which you can download for free today. So go check that out. Hey, are you looking for another great podcast to listen to? One about investing and not only just investing, but learning about cool deals like investing in apartments that does not require you to have to be an accredited investor or have $1 million. Hey, if you want to check that out, go check out my friend Lane Kawaoka's site, simplepassivecashflow.com. He's got a great podcast also called Simple Passive Cashflow that you can check out on YouTube, iTunes, or whatever your favorite podcast app is. If you want some great education and to learn about great ways to invest in other types of deals without, again, needing a ton of money, check it out, simplepassivecashflow.com, or look up Simple Passive Cashflow on YouTube or your podcast app. Check it out. All right, so today I've got my special guest, Andrew Cordell. And now you guys all know that I don't want to bring posers onto this show, right? I want to bring people that are legit, you know? So that's why we say no to most of the people that reach out. And I had a marketing guy from his team that said, hey, I think this guy will be perfect for your show. And I would definitely agree with that. And so let you know a little bit about Andrew. Andrew is a noted American entrepreneur. He's a very highly sought after in-demand speaker and is highly regarded wealth strategist as well. He serves as the founder and the CEO of Money Is. It's this company that's dedicated to sharing the secrets of the wealthy 1% and sharing that with the masses, as well as sparking authentic conversations about money. He's also the editor of Money Is magazine. He's a 3-time best-selling author, and he's a passionate educator, highly regarded in this industry. His platform and speaking engagements have generated over, get this, $100 million in sales over just a 3-year period. So Andrew, welcome to our show.
Hey, thank you very much, Chris. Happy to be here, man.
Yeah, man. So tell us what even got you down this path. I mean, to be the money guy, right? Like what happened here?
Yeah, you know, I think it was, I was born in a kind of a lower end middle class, probably like a lot of you, maybe your listeners were mm-hmm. where I didn't come from money, and my mom and dad were school teachers, and they were, I actually got my degree in education, and I was supposed to be a 3rd generation teacher. And, you know, just from going to college, probably like a lot of the listeners, you kind of go to college and following certain plans that maybe someone else had for you. And somewhere along college, I realized, man, I don't want to be a high school teacher or a gym teacher or whatever it is. And just in high school, I mean, just in college, I went ahead and graduated. I stayed with it and graduated, but I never became a teacher. But inside of there, I used to remember sitting in class with my like teacher's book there that they were teaching out of. And then I would have financial books or, you know, real estate books of how to invest inside of those books. I'd read that during class. And as I got down that road of just learning about money and wealth and how it works and the unique things about it. And you go through a lot of failures when you first get started, you know, I mean, because there's no one to kind of lean on. There's no one to kind of, you can kind of go for guidance for when you first get started, you don't really know where to go. And so now that I kind of created that success, it's, I just love applying my teaching style, my teaching upbringing to teach on money and wealth. And so much I'm passionate about it. I love sharing the kind of the wealthy secrets, if you will.
That's interesting. It's kind of fascinating going from that teacher role to really just being a teacher in a different area, right?
Yeah. I mean, I still tell my mom, I think, you know, might forget all the money that I've made and all that different stuff. I think her most proudest moment is I'm still a teacher. And I still kind of hold that family tradition of teaching in our family. And my sisters were teachers, and, you know, it's just in our upbringing. So I get that same kind of passion, but I share it about money and how money works and how, you know, you show that rippled effect is so true when it comes to money, is that money creates that rippled effect that affects so many, not just you, but it affects so many other people, not just in your family, but as you get bigger and bigger, you can affect, you know, others and people that are not even related to you and charities and foundations. It's a massive ripple effect there.
That's right. Yeah. And that's the key thing, I think, with a teacher, which is almost more of a mentor, right? Because, you know, teachers are also known to just teach something, but they don't really have that real human experience. You know, it always takes me back to, if you remember School of Rock?
Oh yeah.
That movie where he tells all the teachers, like, hey, those that can't do, teach. And those who can't teach, teach PE, right?
PE. Yeah, that's right, man. And it's so true. It's funny. I was on another show just recently with somebody, and we were talking about the teaching kind of side of it there. Uh-huh. And they were asking me, why do you think financial literacy is not taught in the school system so much?
Yeah.
And one of the answers that I get, there's a couple of reasons that I believe, but one of the reasons is I believe is they can't teach it. I mean, how can you teach about a topic if you don't understand it, if you don't have it, if you don't know how it operates and what to do with it, what not to do with it, and those things? And so, you know, we could pretend like this world of like, oh, the schools should have taught us. But in reality, how could that teach? It's like a Spanish teacher trying to teach Spanish who doesn't speak Spanish. Well, how could you teach Spanish if you don't even speak Spanish, you know? And it's kind of that same thing. I don't think the school system will ever be able to, you know, they could try to adapt, which they haven't. But even if they try, I don't think they'll ever get to the point where like the knowledge that someone like you would have inside of money, just from the standpoint of that teacher doesn't have it. So how could they teach it? You know,
it's true. You don't want to make it that unfair. When you think about it, most financial advisors don't understand money either. So what would make you think that some teacher that teaches English class is going to understand it too? You know?
Yeah, there's no way. Like you said, man, I got to be careful with how much I talk here, because I know your podcast is only 20 minutes and I want to go down so many rabbit holes here with you, but like the financial advisor comment is like, I just want to jump all over and that discussion there. But it's so true, man. Most financial advisors are mouthpieces for the most part that are just, you know, repeating information. And you know, it's funny, my college roommate in college later on became a financial advisor. And when we got out of college and so forth, he worked for a big company. And I'll never forget the day that he called me and he said, hey, Drew, you know, college buddy, he said, hey, Drew, you know, and he knew that I was successful in my business and so forth. And he was calling me to try to manage my money.
Yeah.
And I was like, are you freaking kidding me? Like, there's no way just because you passed some freaking test that you took some on some weekend class that I'm just going to give you my money now for you to go control. And he couldn't understand it. He's like, well, I you know, but
you should be diversified. You should put all your money in that business. That's risky, right?
Yeah. Don't even get me started on the diversification, man. The whole myth, the whole, you know, it's, I always tell people, you know, when I teach classes and so forth, it's like, the game of money was created by the wealthy for the wealthy, and how it kind of works is kind of how they set it up. And there's certain things I just think that they, you know, are better or kind of manipulated to a certain degree, if you will, and for the 99%ers, if you will. And I think that word diversification is one of those words that is a word that was manipulated, and they use it based off of fear. Because most people that don't have money, that don't understand money, their number one fear is losing their money. Mm-hmm. And so because they're afraid of losing it, they tee off this word of, oh, we got to be diversified. And when we don't understand money, you hear that and you're like, oh yeah, that makes all the sense in the world. I don't want to lose this. And so you play that game with them, you know? And if it was true diversification, there is such thing as a true diversification, right? But it's not what they're selling you. But if it was true diversification, here's a great question. Then wouldn't right now your 401k not be collapsing right now?
I mean, exactly.
Diversification was because you wanted this, like, not if a bad time happened, it would not, you know, collapse you. And but here we find ourselves is still collapsing. You know what I mean?
It's so true. It's very true. So let's go more down your rabbit holes here a little bit. You know, I know we can go down different ones, but I mean, what are some of the key principles you teach with money is, you know, and when you try to help people really educate them on this, what are some of the key concepts or principles you teach?
Yeah, I think for me, you know, one of the whole reasons I started Money Is Blank, meaning what does money mean to you, was you have to determine what money means to you and most entrepreneurs, as you probably know, whether investors or business owners, whatever it is, a lot of times they just jump in because they want to, you know, go do something, but they're missing a lot of kind of those foundational ingredients. And money is, when you answer that question, which I love to ask people, you know, I think a mistake that a lot of entrepreneurs make is they use these words like money is freedom, or money is power, or money is control, whatever, you know, these kind of like big words. And in my experience, we almost make money this mythical creature that is not.
Absolutely.
And we put it on this platform of like, oh, well, money is this freedom for me. Well, it's like when you make it this massive platform, you'll never actually get to where you're trying to go, because you've created this like mythical dragon almost in your head, you know, like this Game of Thrones concept of what money really is. And I don't think it's that complicated. In all my years of doing this, like for most people, broad stroke, but for most people, money is what they want. That makes sense. Like money is, it's what you want. Like that's not a bad thing. It's understanding, why would this person start a business? Why would this person, you know, quit their job and take this risk and make this investment in this house or whatever the alternative investment is, right? Versus the traditional stuff, is because they're wanting money. And that's not a bad thing.
Right.
I think you can go one step further and say, okay, but why do you want, what would you do with that money? And
yeah, what do you think the money's going to give you, right?
Exactly. You know, and that is where I think you find that real motive is like, okay, I want money, and I want money because I want to help this, or I want to pay for, like, for me, it's all about family. Like for me, it's like, I wanted money as a young kid because I wanted to take care of my family, my mom, my dad, and, you know, my sisters. And once I kind of realized the true definition for me of money was to help my family, that's what gives you the motive and the drive and gives you the fuel, because you have a clear path now of what you're looking for. I think that's a big factor that most people don't understand, is really understanding why they want the money, and they make it so mythical to them that they'll never actually get there. Like you said, I love your intro. You're like, in 400, 300 billion years from now, I'll have enough money to retire. It's like this mythical concept, you know? Mm-hmm. And another part of it, Chris, is just understanding, for us, yeah, money is, it was all about structure. Like I look back at my career, and I've been an entrepreneur for 20 years and made money, lost money, all those different things. And to me, one of the most important things is I talk to the Kevin O'Leary's or Grant Cardone's, you know, whoever it is that I'm working with, is like, they have a different structure in their business than the majority of people have. They just do things differently that maybe me and you that didn't grow up in biz or don't understand it yet or haven't got that level that we never started with. You know, we were using TurboTax, or we were using, you know, some, you know, a buddy of mine who was an attorney that set up my entity, and there's these like ingredients, I call them controlling money, keeping money, and protecting your money. Mm-hmm. Wealthy people have mastered how to control more of their money, keep more of their money, and protect their money.
That's right. When those kind
of three things merge, you really find that success, or that structure that allows you to grow and scale to wherever you want to grow, you know? So those are some of the main principles that we teach over there, is what does really money mean to you? And then no matter what you want to do, you want to invest, you want to be a business owner, whatever it is, you have to have the right structure. You got to have the right CPA. You got to know how to keep all the money, and got to know how to protect the money. You know, those are some of the big talking points we use.
You know, that's so key, because so many people will think, especially early on, they'll say, my whole goal is to make more, grow my money, get it working for me, which is absolutely true. Right. But like I keep bringing up, like that's good to have an offense, but you got to have a defense too, you know, because if you come more from a gambler mentality, you're just trying to do all offense, but you're going to lose it, right? It'll be here today, gone tomorrow. And when people actually have money, or as they start to build it and understand more, it's not because they already have money, because they're not worried about growing it, because people still want to grow money, even when they have lots of it. But it's more about, I know that if I take less risk, I get higher return. It's not high risk creates high return. It's low risk creates high return.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, it's so much about money is when people get started, like you said, they just kind of jump in and they're trying to make money. And that's how I got started. I don't misunderstand this. Like when I got started, I didn't know anything. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I got started. And I started in fix and flip of houses. And dude, I was just like wide open. I'll do as many fix and flip as I possibly can. And I got into the hundreds of fix and flip deals that I had done. And I still didn't have actual like wealth yet. You know what I mean? I was just making money. And there's a transition that takes place of when you actually understand, okay, but how do I control what I'm making more of? How do I keep more than I'm making? And then how do I protect what I have so that if a bad thing happens, and the protection goes into two worlds, right? It goes in protection of like protection of lawsuits, right? Protection if you deal with tenants and so forth or whatever it may be. Protection of just lawsuits, but then also protection against the market. Like
right now, if you have money, you understand you have to always prepare for the market adjusting, and the market goes up, the market goes down. Mm-hmm. Understanding money is understanding how to protect your investments against something that's out of your control, like the coronavirus, right?
Yeah.
If you don't know money, you know, Chris, like I know you do, then you know bad times are going to come, right? Whether it's the mortgage crisis of 08, the dot-com bubble of 2000, or the coronavirus of 2020, wealthy people protect what they have, and they know how to protect that. So when it comes, it actually doesn't get worse. It actually gets better, you know, for you and their money, you know?
Exactly. And that's why I don't gamble with markets, and I encourage people not to do the same. You know, it's like, go for what's predictable, which you can actually create and make it work. And that could be, you know, I think a key concept that I don't talk about as often on the show these seasons versus the first seasons is that sometimes your best investment, if you're a business owner, is your business, you know, not just to get caught in the trap of thinking that that's the only place to make money, because that's how you get trapped inside your own business and you're stuck. But if you can realize, like, wait a minute, this is my economic engine. Yeah, I can create passive income streams, but right here, I can create massive wealth too.
And that's how I set my whole, that's how really my wealth was created. Was originally I was buying just a house here and a house there and a house there, whatever you want, however you want to say, inside of real estate. When I kind of had my business, and my business became kind of my engine that created capital, if you will, right?
Yes.
From growing my business. And then there's reinvesting my business and making it grow more and more. And then what happens is, when I have that money, I immediately went and said, okay, I don't want to hold on to this cash. I want to move it. I want to make this money go to work for me. And then I began to say, okay, what can I buy from more of a passive standpoint? Mm-hmm. And my business is producing all this money, but let me go buy this house. Let me go buy this apartment complex, or I'll go buy this other business that I don't run, but I can own the business per se. And I just immediately began to focus on my business, allow it to grow the capital, and then take that capital and make it go to work constantly. I think a lot of people, they're afraid to make their money go to work. And not even just business owners, but also just, you know, regular non-business owners, your traditional person, they're afraid to make that money work. And I always say that either you or the money has to work. One of you, if you want money, one of you has to work. And so where the wealthy kind of, I think, have kind of hit the nail on the head, is they're constantly making that money work for them in investments that they're buying. And as soon as they get it back, they want to make it go back to work. And the money comes back, and I want to get it back out the door again, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think it's a bit, one of the big differences between the sort of 99 percenters, if you will, and the 1 percenters is 99% is kind of hold and try to not use it and save it, not actually make it work.
Set it and forget it, right?
Yeah, set it and forget it, man. Or, you know, give it to the advisor and walk away from it and see you in 60 years. And that is just again, there's no proof that I have with this. I'm just telling you, I feel like in all my years of training people and individuals, the more that I see it, the more that I feel like that was a hoax that the wealthy created, where they can control more of the money. You know what I mean? Because when you move that money to these huge companies and they have their under management of billions of dollars, dude, they're making an insane amount of money off of your money, which what a great strategy that was for them. Convince you to give them all of your money. I'll make money off of it, and I'll give you just a little bit of it. I'll actually keep more than I'll actually make you. You know, when you really dive into how much fees and so forth they have inside those things.
Whether markets go up or down, they make money, right?
It's relevant to them. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Up, down, they're still going to get paid, and you're going to have to pay them. You know what I mean? And it's funny because, and Chris, I got to be careful here because I would just go forever. But like, if I was paying a financial advisor, right? Meaning I was giving them my money and they were charging me these fees. Now, I know a lot of times, if you don't know it, a lot of viewers or listeners may think, well, the fees aren't that bad, but that's not how it works. If you actually dive into those fees, they're astronomical fees. Okay.
Yeah.
So, but let's just pretend like even if they were small fees, right? The concept being that if I was paying this financial advisor with all my money and I began to lose money right now when they had set all this up for me, why is not the immediate thought of the people to say, you're fired, like, that's it, I'm done with your I'm paying you as my advisor and you led me into this absolute collapse of my money or whatever it is, right? But it's amazing because when that actually happens, most of the time the advisors will say, oh, well, hey, now's the time, you got to buy more, like, put more in, don't pull out now, just stay with it. It's like, man, what? I'm paying you and this is the advice you gave me. You lost 25% of my money. I'm supposed to be happy about this, you know?
In fact, I should give you more because of it.
It's mind blowing, man. It's mind blowing. I don't understand it, but whatever, you know, I don't know.
Well, tell us, like, if people want to, like, understand more about what you do, what is it you do with money is like, and how can people be involved with that or learn more about it?
Yeah, so Just Set Money is, man, we're really trying to focus on those investors and those small business owners that are needing help with structure, right? Because I just think structure is like so important. So if you need help with like business taxes, like you're a business owner or an investor, and you need help with specializing in understanding business taxes and then what type of entity you should have that best fits your business. There's a stat that came out recently that said by the Small Business Administration, it says 73% of all businesses are sole proprietors. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but I'm saying every case is different. So how, you know, how do you know if you should be a sole proprietor or an LLC or a C corp or S corp or FLP? So we try to kind of mesh all those three together where we allow you, your CPA, your attorney, your custodians, if you do a lot of self-directed or not, you know, kind of tie together there and all pull that same rope on your business so that you know your entity and your protection and your setup and your structure is all done cohesively versus, as you know, Chris, a lot of people out there use this random CPA. They use this random attorney over here. They have this random financial advisor or custodian or whatever, you know, over there. Mm-hmm. And those three never actually communicate with each other. They're just kind of all separated out, which is hard for a business owner to really grow and succeed when their main foundation of how all the money is set, controlled, established, how much they pay, don't pay, is all separated versus cohesive. So that's what we really try to help business owners on is make sure they have that right structure that can help them. Our CPAs have done over 100,000 tax returns for business owners, entities of over 30,000 with our attorneys. We just help those business owners make sure they're set up the right way as much as possible.
That's awesome. Because I know like with one of my, in fact, just before we recorded this, right? I had a consulting client where we're just starting to work together and she hired like this legal firm, right? To help her. And they had a great, great, you know, public image, right? Of being like the best, you know? Right. And the problem is they're saying like, hey, you should do this or you should do this and you should do this or hey, this is another 10 grand to pay for this. After you paid us 10 grand, now you're gonna pay 10 grand for the structure that I'm like, she's just barely started on real estate investing. She doesn't need that crap, you know, but they're
100% man. Why would you need, I go to some of these people come in and they're like, okay, I paid this attorney over here that sent me with an offshore trust in the Cook Islands. And I paid $45,000 for it. I'm like, well, what do you have in it? Nothing. Well, what investments do you have? Well, I haven't made any investment yet, but I'm going to buy a house soon. It's like, well, why did you need a $50,000 offshore trust, you know, for that? You know what I mean? So, and that's the thing there, Chris, like, the number you hit is almost the identical number I hear all the time is $10,000, right? Like I have to do this setup. It's going to cost $10,000. It's going to cost $10,000. And it's like, man, I don't know what you guys are, I don't know what they're doing to you over there, but it doesn't work like that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I feel so bad when I hear clients say that because it's like, let your CPA, your attorney, your custodian all work on the same page with wherever level you're at. And that thing can grow as you grow. And when they're all cohesively and you're kind of managing the nucleus, if you will, it's a much better process for you as a business owner or as an investor.
100% agree. That's awesome. Well, great. And now would people just go visit moneyis.com? Is that the best site to go to?
Yeah, you can go to, if you stay in touch with me, you can of course go to moneyis.com. Because you know, I always give something away on the podcast and, I have, if they want, we have like a little blueprint, of kind of how those three pieces work together. We're not selling you anything. We're not, there's nothing there for sale. It's just a blueprint that you guys can use. They kind of have, you know, look at where you're at and how it works. And so if they want a copy of the blueprint, it's moneyis.com/blueprint. And they can have a blueprint there. And again, there's nothing to sell there. It's just kind of maps out for them a generalized idea of, oh, this is how the wealthy kind of do it. There's a blueprint there. So you go to moneyis.com or moneyis.com/blueprint and you get your own little, what we call the money is structure right there.
That's a wonderful gift. Thank you so much. That's great. I'll be sure to put that in the show notes so everybody can go ahead and download that. That'd be awesome. So
no problem, man.
Man, I really appreciate your time today, Andrew. Like this is fantastic. And I love meeting somebody who's of like the same, you know, kind of mindset, even though we came from different paths, still we've come to the same conclusions and we're cohesive. And then a lot of the things that we teach there. So I appreciate you being on today.
My privilege, man. I appreciate having me, Chris.
You bet. Hey, everybody else, man, like anything, education is awesome, but action with education is wisdom, right? Like put that to use, use that to your advantage because that is what recreates real wealth. Not just listening, but being, not just being a hearer of the word, but being a doer as well. So go and make that happen, guys. Again, check out moneyis.com/blueprint. And everyone, I hope you make it a wonderful and prosperous week. We'll see you later.
Visit us online at moneyripples.com for more resources to help you fix money leaks and get your money working harder for you now.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.